Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new episode of Absolute Truth Absolutely. We are very happy, very content that you're able to join us for this new episode. I guess today you can call it one of those things where we're going to delve into the Word, but at the same time deal with a modern ideology out there, and that's what we usually try to do. But today it's a little bit different because it's coming from within the church and from without. So without any further ado, with me as always is my partner in crime, my father and pastor of Living Word Church, Jesus Martinez.
And Gio, I'm calling from, dialing in from Unity Central.
I say that tongue-in-cheek because of today's topic.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I'm going to make it a little bit more blunt than what I wrote in an article. I was watching a video on YouTube, which was posted on James McDonald's channel on YouTube. And he recently put together two events titled The Elephant Room. And in the first one, he takes all of these other also well-known pastors, and he brings them together for a sort of in-your-face conference, if you will. Oh, he says, the sparks are going to fly, and we're going to confront each other about unbiblical things and make sure that we bring each other to accountability.
That's, you know, that the not-so-well-known pastors, we had a conference, but since we're not well-known, nobody ever found out about it.
And since nobody ever found out about it, nothing came about it either. So
so it was an exercise in futility.
Exactly. We just basically did the old, what's this guy's name, Mike Myers? Talk amongst yourselves. Here's the topic.
We did manage to stay incognito, though.
That is true. So, you know, which is totally different from what happened to James McDonald and these guys. You know, this was supposed to be a situation where these people were supposed to meet, and they were supposed to confront each other about certain issues. And in reality, after the first elephant room, it was anything but. What made it even more controversial was,
so they did not manage to iron out their doctrinal differences.
Everybody stayed in their own corner. You know how it is.
Okay.
But then in the second elephant room, this is where the controversy really, really kicks in, okay? He invites T.D. Jakes. And of course, every Christian that has heard T.D. Jakes speak before knows that he is what is commonly known as a modalist, a Jesus only. Well,
let's clear that up. Everybody that has studied his background, that knows his origins, because right now he would keep that from the mainstream Christian knowledge. He would not have you know that, because that's a marker on his life and on his ministry credentials that he would not want people to know about.
Yeah. And he tries to cover it up by saying, yeah, I believe, you know, in God in three persons. But that can be a blanket statement,
mm-hmm,
to try to hide away what he truly believes. And where this came forth, from what I've heard, this really came forth in an interview in the year 2000, where he made it clear that he was a modalist, or he is a modalist. He is a person that believes that God has three manifestations, not that it's three persons, but acting together cohesively as one, the Godhead, the triune God. And James McDonald invites him to the elephant room. And then he writes on his blog, I don't believe he is a modalist, even though T.D. Jakes has said that he is a modalist. Now, aside,
why don't they bring in the Pope, and then, you know, James can say, I don't believe he's a Catholic.
I don't believe that he is the man who is pontificating all of the issues of the Catholic Church.
I hate to sound like I'm poking fun at all of this, but it's just ridiculous.
It is.
A man says, I am from this background, and another one listens to him and says, no, you're not. Come on. How much more ridiculous can you get?
It's like a cat saying, meow. You know what? You're not a cat. You're a tiger.
Exactly. No, you're a dog.
Even worse. Or, you know what? You look like a squirrel to me. You're kind of hairy.
It's that absurd.
It is. But then here's the whole issue that really brought this to my attention and really got me angry. In a video where he's promoting this, you can tell that, and it's funny, the heading that the person puts on the video, James McDonald seems a little torqued. And at the beginning, he goes, we're going to put together, and he's really nonchalant, calm. And as the video goes on, you can tell that progressively the ire starts building inside of him. He says, there are people on my blogs that say, why are you fellowshipping? You know what the real elephant in the room is? He goes, we have to be brothers. Because Jesus said that we'll know that we are his disciples if we truly love one another. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is just more of what the world and what modern day stable preachers are doing. What do I mean by that? The world will tell you, you know, you can take Jesus' words with a grain of salt. You don't have to take them literally. You can apply your own truths to them. And then the modern day preachers, they decontextualize Jesus' words to fit their own ideology and their own belief systems. This is what they're doing, and this is what James McDonald has done with this whole elephant room to excuse away his alliances and allegiances.
We were doing a podcast for the Hispanic community, and we were discussing some issues there concerning Antichrist. And in the past, some people have said, oh, that's Antichrist over there, because one particular piece of the prophetic scheme that describes Antichrist was fulfilled. And I was sharing with the people that it's not one piece that brings the totality of a particular prophecy to fulfillment. It's all the pieces. One of the things that assures us that Jesus is the Christ is the fact that in the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, dozens upon dozens of prophecies were fulfilled, making the mathematical equation so tremendously in favor of pointing to Jesus as Messiah that to say, no, he cannot be Messiah, is to be out of your mind. Yeah. The possibility of the amount of prophecies that were fulfilled over Jesus to be fulfilled just because he prepared the scheme, he prepared the way, it's impossible.
There's too many. It is impossible.
And I say all of this because it's the same thing with discipleship. To say, if we show that we care for each other, now we are showing all men that we are truly disciples. That is to take one point of a list of things that showcases true discipleship and, you know, true membership in God's family is out of place. Furthermore, Gio, I would point the listener to Ephesians chapter 4, which deals with the unity of the body of Christ. And it teaches in chapter 4 that the author, the one who works true unity, is the Holy Spirit. So when men say we are not united, they're calling the Holy Spirit a liar.
Yep.
Because he is the one that unites the body of Christ. Two, when we say we are not united, not only are we calling the Holy Spirit a liar, we are saying we can do a better job than you can. So get out of the way because we are going to unite. And number three, every time an organization, a few men, one particular individual decides, I'm going to bring the body of Christ together because it's obviously divided, it just brings about so many headaches, so many problems, and further division that I don't even know why at this time the body of Christ has not said enough. You are another one in a series of men and organizations that have said we are not united and that you're going to put us together, and at the end all you do is just put yourself above the rest.
Yeah.
The Bible, what it teaches over there in Ephesians 4 is that we are to keep the unity, and that is something that you do personally, not as an organization, not as one minister to another. You walk in faith, you walk in what God has shown you to be true by his word, and that is your part in your role.
Here's a question I have for you, because I want to touch upon this issue on what it truly means to abide in his word, because in the article that I had put together, I say the same thing you have just said, that James McDonald decided to decontextualize one, and he wanted to make it seem as if there's only one requisite to follow Jesus, to be a true disciple when there are many.
To showcase the discipleship.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things I mentioned there is that specifically when you read John chapter 8, he says, if you abide in my word, which we'll deal with that in just a second. But here's a question I have for you. There are those that would listen to us speak, and with what you just said, and I've said the same thing before, and would say the following. Okay, yeah, I understand that the Holy Spirit keeps the unity. But what about all of the churches that are divided over doctrine or over all of these issues then? Is that true unity, or what else is that? Is there something else working here which pertains directly to what we're talking about and this man's undertakings, because obviously there's ulterior motives here.
The true church is united. It's united by the Holy Spirit. It's united by truth, not like they say today, we must put truth aside and our doctrines aside so we can come together. No, yep. The true church is united by the Holy Spirit, not by man, not by an organization. It's united in love. It's united in truth. And so even though it may seem to the human eye that we are divided, in reality, we are not.
Yeah.
There is no way that Satan can procure, can manage the division of the true body of Christ. He cannot do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going on to this next point, which I think that, again, we have to look at the total counsel of the Word of God. This is what the Bible tells us to do, and to look for the witness of two or three. We can't just take one verse and try to, like I said before, decontextualize it in order to make it fit our scheme of things, make it fit our ideology, because what I think is going on here is the following. I think James MacDonald is using this verse so that he can excuse away or make it seem or make his stance seem biblical, his alliances, his allegiances. It's funny because after this whole situation goes on, he has this other individual, this controversial and at the same time erroneous preacher, Stephen Furtick, out at his pulpit preaching. And then we find that weeks later, Stephen Furtick has T.D. Jakes on his pulpit. And you know what he goes on to say? You can find this on YouTube. It's readily available. He says, every preacher, even though they don't know it, they owe something to T.D. Jakes because we've all taken something from T.D. Jakes. Whoa, wait a minute. What? That's like ECT, you know, Evangelicals and Catholics together. When Pat Robertson and all these other people were saying, I stand here in representation of all evangelicals. Sorry, guy, you don't represent me and you don't represent everybody. That's really an erroneous blanket statement. But let's take a look at what it takes to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. For example, he tells us in a direct and unapologetic fashion what it takes to follow him in Luke 14, 26 through 27. He states that one must be willing to place him above everything else, including family and even our own lives, in order to be his disciples. Now, the idea is more or less the same in Matthew 8, verses 21 through 22, where one of Jesus' followers asks him to be pardoned from discipleship for a time, for a season. Why? Because he has to go bury his father. And what does Jesus say? Some people say, well, those are harsh words, but there's truth behind this. Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now, one might state that those are very, very high cost, but yet, when we consider what the Messiah gave up, his own life even, for us, it's not that high of a cost. It's not a high cost at all. But the key phrase here, the one that goes overlooked by James MacDonald and by everyone else, I never hear them quoting this, it's the following. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and that's in John 8:31. The Greek word is meno, and the idea there is to continue to be present, to endure, not to depart. In other words, there's this general idea when Jesus says, if you abide in my word, it has to be a continual action. It's not something that you pick and choose which sides you like of Jesus and what sides you don't like of Jesus and ignore those and push them aside. No, you have to abide in his word. And that's an absolute statement talking about the totality of his word.
First of all, Gio, we must point out that there is a difference between discipleship and sonship. And to take discipleship to this place that it's being taken to, almost making it greater than being a son, a daughter of God, is not a good thing. And number two, I said previously that the true unity of the body of Christ is a work of the Holy Spirit, and that Satan can do nothing about that. Now, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, we see the following. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. This is a great verse. In other words, what they are trying to avoid is inevitable, according to Paul, the Apostle Paul. Because this is what showcases true believers from false believers, true sonship from the fake one. So I fully understand that the unity of the body of Christ is not a work of man. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And these things must come to pass, these divisions. It seems like we are divided, but in reality, the true body is not divided. All these other manifestations is that seem to be divisions is to prove who is truly of Christ and who is not. And so at the end, I said it before and I stand by my words. I believe what is happening is something that is almost as old as the body of Christ itself. Men thinking, you know what? The body is divided. I got to bring it together. Hmm. And maybe the intention is good. But maybe, just maybe, there's an air of arrogance there in thinking, I can bring the body of Christ together.
You bring up a word here, and this is why I'm glad you brought it, because it really segues into this next issue. And we're going to deal specifically with hypocrisy here. One of the things that James McDonald mentions in this video and in his promos is that this is a brotherly love sort of thing, that, you know, they're going to come together in a loving fashion, in a brotherly fashion. It doesn't matter how much they disagree, that they're going to, you know, discuss these things like men. I wonder if that's the same action that they did with Chris Rosenbraugh, who also puts together another podcast, a discernment podcast. He went there. He had, set aside his seat. Next thing you know, he is approached by the hierarchy of the church and says, "You can't be here. You got to leave."
They expelled him. He kicked him out.
And then he says, "You know, I'm going to have to let everyone know about this. If you do kick me out, because as a member of the media and as a member of the body of Christ, I'm going to let people know what you've done here." I guess they knew who he was. You know, he's a person that is into discernment. And what happens? "Are you threatening me?" The pastor says, according to his testimony, to Chris's testimony, he says, "I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you that this is the truth." So eventually he gets kicked out. So my question is, why is it that James McDonald and his people don't apply this to the little guy, to those of us that aren't well-known, like you were saying, us incognitos? How come that principle, that biblical principle, doesn't get applied to us because it's only the hierarchy? You know, I see two things at work here. It's like you were saying, this pride, and then number two, to expound on your point on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I also think that when we're talking about heresies, also intentions get brought forth. What do I mean by that? Paul tells us, and this is something you've quoted on many occasions, that we are open letters, we are open books. And a lot of times, if you listen to someone long enough, if you see their actions long enough, you begin to see that there's ulterior motives at work and at play. And I think, and this just could be me, and this is just my speculation, okay? I think that James McDonald probably wants to be considered among that new stable of hip, young, cool preachers. He wants to be part of that group that is out there that everybody's talking about. And this is why he's put this thing together. That's just me. That could be, you know, my opinion. That is my opinion. And people might disagree with me, and that's fine. But all of the evidences seem to point that way.
Let's dismantle this a little bit. The people in this conference are the movers and the shakers, the mega church pastors, the people that really move the masses, right?
Yeah.
It's my understanding from whatever biblical studies I have and whatever little I've learned that God will not bless heresy.
Hmm.
But all these people have been blessed with great numbers. Are they all correct?
Hmm.
And if they are all correct, why would they be trying to correct something that doesn't need correction? And if they are not all correct, how come they're all blessed? And so it's very confusing. I see no purpose for this conference. And again, I think that somewhere deep inside lurks a motivation or a series of ideas and motivations that drive people to do this. And I would be very careful if I am a listener, a follower of these people, because at the end of the day, they just want to lord it over me.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And I think that we need to be careful with these things, because this is what starts to cooperate with the end-time ecumenical movement, that at the end will cast away, they will burn in the altar of sacrifice, truth, real biblical doctrine for their idea, their notion of true unity, which, again, I stated at the beginning, at the midway point, and I will say it again, true unity is not of men. Is of the Holy Spirit.
And we want to close with this. I know there's a lot of young people that are listening to us. They listen to this podcast and they probably are asking themselves, well, why is this important to me? Well, they're targeting you. This is who they're targeting. They do all of this with the intention of reaching out to what they title the next generation or the new generation of Christians. And they are specifically targeting you, and it's important that you know what the underpinnings of this whole movement is.
Absolutely.
Or are.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, if the world, I mean, it's this, it's almost a similar tactic to what the world is doing. It's compromise Jesus' words on this area, compromise Jesus' words on that area, and we can have a gray area and we can all meet and have fun and games and we'll all eat lollipops all day and it'll all be fine. No, Jesus is very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever, no one can go to the Father except through me. And it's very clearly established that it says it in his word, Jesus speaks it. If you want to be his disciple, you have to abide, and that's talking about a continual habitation in his word. I'll give you the last word.
Every man's work, including, and I believe foremostly, ministers, will be tried by God. And so at the end of the day, I must be under true conviction about what I believe. And once I have achieved that place, I have arrived at that place, I need to stick to my guns. Because at the end, God is not going to call the conference to accountability. He's going to call me personally.
That's right.
So when you ask me to, you know, just bring down what I have studied, what I have learned, just so I can showcase a little discipleship, not being a member of the family of God, just a little discipleship, togetherness, I'm going to have to pass on that one. Okay. Because I believe that most men of God endeavor to show themselves approved before God.
Yeah.
And then after all your work, for you to say, well, I'm going to compromise here, I'm going to compromise there, because, you know, even though I am accountable to God, I need to have this, you know, image of unity. And so, okay, I'll cast these things away. I can't do that. I pass.
That's a great way to end the program. Thank you for joining us once again. And we want to thank you, the listener, for continuing to download these podcasts and for archiving them. We ask you that you share them with your friends, with your family members, because they too need to know the truth of the matter. That's what we strive to do on this podcast, and we hope that it blesses you. And if it blesses you, you should bless others with what you have been blessed with. If you have any questions or comments that you want to direct in our direction, please do so by emailing us ata@lwym.org. ATA, that's short for Absolute Truth Absolutely, @lwym.org. That's all the time that we have left for this edition. We want to thank you once again and say, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.